오마게하나침 이런 하시야 냐난전 샬라카 착슈르 밀리참 예냐 타스마이 스위그르 베나마하.
Srila Prabhupada often gave the common sense logic of how we can understand God. He would say, how can you deny God? God means the Supreme Father or the original Father. You cannot deny that you have a father. And you cannot deny that your father also had a father. So if you go back further and further in time, if you are insane, you may imagine that your father's 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 father was a monkey. But the real conclusion is that there is the Supreme Father, the original Father. Other people, they simply like to say that everything has come from nature. Nature is understood to be the mother. We say Mother Nature. Do you say that in Polish, Mother Nature?
Yeah.
You also say that, yeah, Mother Nature. So if there's a mother, there must be a father also. Mother cannot produce a child without the cooperation of the father. So this is a very common sense thing to understand. God is the Supreme Father. And all living entities are produced from nature by the touch of God. There is one kind of logic that is called Tandul Vrischikanyai. Tandul means rice. And Vrischika means scorpion. And Nyai means logic. So it is seen that scorpions, they are born from rice. That means, at least in India, people, they after the rice is cut, they stack it in big heaps. So in those stacks of rice, inside it's very warm. And in the stack of rice, the scorpions like to lay their eggs. So you'll see scorpions coming out of the rice. So you may think that the scorpion is born from the rice. So it's true in one sense, but it's not a complete understanding. Complete understanding is that the rice is not the source of the scorpions. It is simply the medium by in which they have come into this world. But life comes from life. The living scorpion laid the eggs by which the scorpions came out. Nowadays there is much propaganda about test tube babies, that children are being produced in test tubes. So this proves that we are creating life, the scientists say. But actually, they take, what do? They take the ovum and the semina from living human beings and mix them, and not exactly they mix, they take the already fertilized ovum and put that in some kind of artificial incubator. And then they advertise that we are creating babies in our laboratories. So it's a kind of cheating. But even if they were to produce babies in laboratories, you just go to the maternity ward of the hospital and see that so many babies are being produced in the wombs of mothers. So all you are trying to do anyway is to imitate what is already going on in nature. After much research, you can imitate the conditions of nature. After spending thousands of dollars to make the correct design, then only you can imitate that which is already going on in nature. Then how can you deny that in nature there is some design? Is it not common sense that to copy what is already going on in nature, you have to make so much investigation to make the conditions exactly correct? But they say what is going on in nature is by chance. So much order is there, and they say by chance? Or even if you say by chance, everything has fallen into order and everything is going on very nicely with design. As if design. They deny the design. But then if there's no substantive basis, if everything is simply going on by chance, then by chance, again, the design should all fall to pieces. In other words, there are so many laws of nature, and if there is no authority to maintain those laws, then why should it not just all dissolve into chaos? And that is actually one of the laws of physics that they have discovered, that any system left without control tends towards chaos. Just like in a chemical factory, you have to have expert engineers to control everything that is going on. From oil, so many different things are produced. Different kinds of plastics and nylons, all different varieties. So many different varieties of plastics which are used for different purposes. Just like we have plastic bags, that is one kind of plastic. Then plastic bottles. Then you have thick, hard plastic for tiles. There are so many different varieties of plastics. They're all produced from oil. Now, in the processing of oil, it has to be, you have to process it exactly according to an exact chemical process to get the kind of plastic that you want. It has to be very expertly controlled with the pressure, the temperature, how much of different chemicals to add at which stage of the process. It requires expert control. What to speak of making plastics, even to make soap, it requires control. And if you don't control it expertly, then you end up with a different result. If you just throw in all the different chemicals without any consideration, and no, you just heat it all up, you won't get what you want. So it requires engineers to supervise that everything is going on exactly correctly. It requires engineers to set up the system and to oversee the system. So when we see the whole universe, which is fantastically complex, how can we think that there is no design behind it in the first place and no supervision to maintain it? They call it scientific to think that there's no God. But it is the most unscientific, irrational, stupid thing. But somehow or other, it's going on as science. Scientists have a certain way of talking. If you meet scientists or if you see them on television, they have a certain way of talking as if they really understand everything they're talking about. But it's all a big bluff. They're talking all these different things. And people are thinking, yes, he really knows what he's talking about. But if you go a little deeper into science, you'll find that even they know that they don't know what they're talking about. Like they'll show you in the university a big chart and point to it, and this is how the universe came into existence, this, that. But then you'll find there are over 100 different theories of how the universe came into existence. Is that science? It's called guesswork. Some article came recently in a British magazine called Nature. It's a scientific, supposed to, what they call scientific magazine. So they analyzed the 100 most prominent theories of the origin of the universe. And they said that the most likely one has maybe 1 in 10,000 chance of being right. 1 in 10,000, that's the most likely. Out of the 100 theories, the one which is most likely to be correct has only 1 in 10,000 chance of being correct. There are so many things in the universe which they can't explain at all. So they just invent some fantastic theories, which just complete guesswork. Intergalactic strings. They make up theories to try to explain phenomena which they can't explain. But they have no way of telling whether these theories are correct or not. But they present it as science. And people think, oh, this is very scientific. But it's not scientific. As Prabhupada noted, science means that there is a hypothesis, then experiment, and then conclusion. Prabhupada said that they simply speak all nonsense. They don't come to any conclusion. Just like this Darwin's theory. Theory means they should have proved it by now, 150 years. If it was true, they should have come up with some solid evidence. But there is no evidence. But still, they present as if it's a fact. It's like I was seeing a book written by some so-called philosopher recently. And he was saying that actually evolution, it's proved. But still there are some people called creationists who most unscientifically, without any evidence, want to say that the universe was created by some God. So this is called bluffing. They say actually evolution is proved. It's not proved. Where's the proof? Bring us a monkey and show giving birth to a human child. We have evolution, we have devolution. That means going backwards. It means we presume your mother was a human being, but we have doubts about you. How you're talking so much nonsense. Once I was on a plane, and I was someone next to me had some science magazine. So I was looking at this, and I was looking over his shoulder, and it was the most amazing hogwash. Hogwash means nonsense. Yeah, nonsense. That's the normal word Prabhupada used. Hodgepodge. Hogwash is a very good word. It means trying to clean a pig. It's ridiculous. So anyway, this book said that now we've understood that actually evolution could not take place on Earth. They finally admitted that all the evidence was against it. So they wrote that the latest scientific theory is that life arrived on Earth by meteorites. Just like you catch a bus to go somewhere else. So some cells jumped on a meteorite. Where are you going? Going to Earth. Okay, I'm going there too. So just complete speculation. But then they wrote, scientists hypothesize, in other words, they guess, that life has arrived by meteorites. But then they write a whole big article. The meteorites arrived at such and such a time, so many millions of years ago, then they developed like this, and then dinosaurs came. First of all, they make a fantastic guess, and then they build up a whole story upon it. It's just like if you go to the movies, we don't go to the movies, but if those who do, they see some drama that's going on. And it's presented in such a way to make you think that it's real. So they deliberately present this fantastic guess and present it as if it's real, that the meteorites arrived at such and such a date, and then the cells or whatever it was crawled off the meteorites and started reproducing. And this is presented as science. And they say, be rational. We don't accept it unless it's logical. This is logical, that you have a father, he had a father, he had a father. So the Supreme Father, the original source, is God. Why don't you take it even as a hypothesis? That if you take it as a hypothesis, that there is an original creator and a supreme controller who impregnates life into material nature. That life is a different kind of energy to the material energy. Aparaya mitastranyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutam mahavaho yayedam dharyate jagat is a superior energy to the material energy. So why don't you take it as a hypothesis? And you'll find all the observable phenomena fit very nicely with this hypothesis. But they won't do that. They'll make one theory after another, that theory will be proved wrong, and they'll make another theory, another theory, another theory, but they'll never come to this point. Of course, they can do if they're preached to sufficiently. That's also possible. But basically, the attitude of an atheistic scientist is that he wants to avoid God. So they're misleading the whole human society. This is the important work of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to establish what is the correct understanding of reality. Reality doesn't mean that you just get born, you grow up, you have a few children, and you die. Reality means to understand the purpose of this human life. Human life is meant to understand God, our relationship with Him, that we are eternal spirit soul. We are not a combination of matter that is descended from monkeys. Our father is Krishna, not a monkey. We have a better prospect than simply monkey life. So we need to understand this very carefully. Try to understand clearly. The goal of life is to understand Krishna. This is our chance, human life. Don't become evidence for Darwin's theory. Don't act like a monkey. Act like a human being. Human being means chant Hare Krishna, follow four regulative principles, be serious about Krishna consciousness, and preach Krishna consciousness. Tell people, yes, the Supreme Father is Krishna. The whole world is very much in need of this Krishna conscious philosophy. People are suffering, being misled by the wrong idea that life is a product of chemicals. So go and preach. You're all coming from different places. So Krishna has sent you in different places, different people in different places, different towns and villages, so that you can preach in so many different places. This Namahatta conference means to come together, get some inspiration, go out and preach. Sometimes people tell me, well, I'm living in a place, I have no association. I'm living in a town, there's no devotees. So the answer is, make some association. Distribute some books. Tell people about Krishna. Then other people will come. They'll also become devotees. That way you'll get some association. Oh, just look, in the previous purport, there's that Tandul of Rishchikanyai. The scorpion lays its eggs in piles of rice. Just in the previous purport. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question? Yeah, you always have a question. That's good.
But some people can argue that in Poland is not so many atheists, that it's mostly a Catholic country and they believe in God. So what is need? So preaching so heavily, and even previously this president of Poland, he wearing his emblem of Saint Maria.
So does that mean the president of Poland wore an emblem of Saint Maria, so that means we don't have to preach?
Oh, I say only that some people can argue like this.
Let them argue like this. They need preaching to themselves. The thing is that people have a sentiment for God. That's all right. But they have no clear knowledge of God. It's the same thing in India. Similar. That people have a tendency to believe in God, but at the same time in the school they're taught evolutionary theory and all these atheistic things. So what a lot of people do, they separate their brain into two portions. One is real world and the other is God world. They apply their intellect to understand science and sentiment to God. When they think about God, they try not to think too much in a very intelligent way. But if we present actually knowledge of God, they become very happy, because they could never understand why they believed in God. Of course, in Catholicism, they've tried to synthesize Catholic belief with evolutionary theory, which significantly weakens their position. When you compromise, you become weak. Actually, modern...
Could you comment on phenomena that nowadays, often in ISKCON, some devotee form such rock bands, music from bands, and they say that by playing such rock music, hard rock music, they attract some people to Krishna consciousness?
I just was reading this morning in Prabhupada's letters one thing. Prabhupada said that if the American boys can give up the taste for listening to rock music, that will be Krishna's grace on them. I saw Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world very effectively without forming a rock band. Prabhupada did comment on this, actually. Some devotees had made a rock band, and many people were attracted. And Prabhupada said, yeah, they're attracted to the rock music. When the rock music stops, they'll go away. That's amazing. Actually, I saw in Prabhupada's conversation just today also. He's saying that in a Christian church, because they can't get people to come, they're having rock bands in the church. But he said, in one church, they'd brought one naked dance act to try to get people to come to church. So he said, with the rock band, they attracted many people to come, but then when the rock music stopped, everyone went out on the grass and smoked dope. Smoked marijuana, ganja, whatever, so many different names. I'm personally not very much in favor of this. I'd say that Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness very effectively all over the world without this, and he never told us to do it. There are already so many rock bands. We have a different kind of music. Mridanga, cartels, chanting Hare Krishna. This is higher taste. This is something different. If people want rock music, they can get it every street corner. They're already getting it. They're already getting it. With people who are the expert professionals in making this music. So Prabhupada emphasized Harinam Sankirtan, festivals, prasadam distribution, book distribution. What I see is that devotees who take this up, they say we want to do it to attract others, but actually they're very attached to that themselves. That's why they want to do it. Personally, I can't understand why anyone would want to be attached to this rock music. When we have such nice kirtan, rock music just sounds like complete suffering. It is. It's an expression of suffering. Sounds like someone in pain. That we have our own culture, Vaishnava culture. Bengali kirtan is very sweet. So if people have a musical inclination, that's very nice, but why not develop it along these cultural lines? Let people be attracted to this. People will be attracted to this. And that will help to purify us also. I'm not sure about the purifying effect of heavy metal music. Of course, you can throw in Krishna's names somewhere there too. But I don't know how much Krishna is pleased. Hare Krishna! It's just like some very aggressive sound. Chanting Hare Krishna means calling to Krishna with love. So this very aggressive sound, it doesn't... How it fits with the Hare Krishna mantra. Even if you say that some rock music may attract some people, that may be, all right, then we may have one or two rock bands in ISKCON, but why every temple... Every town and village, there has to be a rock band. If there's someone who's expert and who's already famous for doing that, and they become to Krishna consciousness, if they continue with that, that's one thing. But if someone's living in the temple and he has some desire to become a rock star, and he can just about play two or three notes on a guitar and he wants to make a rock group, that's ridiculous. I'll become a rock star, I'll become famous, and then I'll preach about Krishna consciousness. Like we hear some devotees say, I'll become a millionaire, and then I'll give a lot of money to Krishna. I don't have any money now, but I'll become a millionaire. Better just be a little sane, go and distribute some books. I know one devotee in India, he's like the last 6 years, he's trying to get money because he wants to make a film about Krishna consciousness, which is going to change the whole world. Even if he ever does make his film, it's not likely it's going to change the world. Book distribution, festivals, Harinam, preaching to people, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, all these things that Prabhupada gave us, perfect and complete.
And what about that? You see that some sannyasis, sometimes they make some tapes.
Yeah, I've seen one sannyasi and he said that this is for attracting the, the gross materialists. So let the gross materialists be attracted by it. It's not meant for our devotees.
Russian, translate and Polish, and then I am English.
Okay, well, I hope it got to me the right way. By the time it goes back again, it may be something completely different. So what are the three modes of material nature? Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva.
No, it sounds like Hare Krishna. question is, if I correctly understood, that if
I hope you correctly understood, because if you didn't, I won't.
She didn't, I so. Oh, she understands Polish.
Okay, so.
Dharma is meant that people go back home, back to Goddess, or is meant to regulate human life on this earth?
Now, it's meant to regulate human life on this earth with the idea that people can more easily progress towards the proper path, which is to get out of this material world. It's meant to regulate people on this earth, but if it simply regulates them without directing them towards the ultimate goal of life, towards Krishna, then what's the use of regulating them anyway? Therefore, it is said, what is that? Charivanashrame, what is that? Charivanashrame jodi harina bhaje, sakama charaneshe rorave parimaje. That if you execute all your duties very nicely in the Varnashram system, but you don't worship Krishna, then you go to hell. Shakama karateshe rorave parimaje. There's also a verse in Bhagavatam like that. What is that? Yaesham purushang sakshad. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, same thing is said in Bhagavatam.
Yaesham
purushang sakshad.
Yeah.
That's the, yeah. And, no, there's the other one. What is that? Atadvija. What is that? Vibhagasha. Then, but anyway, that's is not in this verse exactly expresses it. That if you follow the Varnashram system, that says that the purpose of the Varnashram system is to worship Hari, and this one says that if you don't worship Hari, then you go to hell.
Svanushita siddhamasya sangsithi Hari toshanam. But was very expert in speaking in science, scientists, in presenting the Krishna consciousness, but if some young devotees, which are not so expert, they should also, if they, if it's alright, if they should speak so, if they are not so expert, speak so hardly to scientists in some such.
No, obviously, if you're speaking with very intellectual people, you have to know the philosophy. That's what Prabhupada wrote in one purport, I believe, in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. That the preachers of Krishna consciousness must know the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, otherwise they will be embarrassed and insulted when they go to preach. But young devotees should be encouraged to preach, not that we shouldn't encourage them to preach. Preaching is the essence of this movement. You get taste from preaching. If you don't preach, then you don't get the whole understanding of Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning you may be a little immature, but it's by practice you become perfect. But of course it makes sense that if you're going to go and preach to specialists that you should be well versed in the kind of knowledge that you're going to preach about. I wouldn't preach to a group of physicists. If there's a science graduate there, I'd send him if he's convinced about Krishna consciousness. If there's a science graduate devotee. But if there is, then I would tell them, look, I'm not a scientist, but this, I'm representing this knowledge like this. But then I tell them, look, if I was preaching to them, I'd say, look, I'm a layman, this is Bhagavad Gita. I'm a layman in science.
Yeah.
Actually, I do preach to science students a lot in India. What we're talking about are basic principles, that there's order in the universe, so how is that order maintained? This is how Prabhupada preached, not on a technical way, but based on basic logic. But due to pride, scientists, they tend to think that someone who's not a scientist, they're not even worth listening to. So I've seen one of our devotees in Rasaraj Prabhu in Bombay, he's scientist. So he meets scientists and he talks science with them. And when they understand he's a competent scientist, he speaks Bhagavad Gita to them. And that also, he'll give examples from science. And it's very effective for preaching. But anyone can preach. Someone may be more expert, someone may be less expert. But if there's no one else to preach, then even your new bhakta, if he has faith in Krishna, he can do it. He can preach whatever he knows. Please take a book. He can say that. And ask people to take a book, and this will give you very good knowledge of an ancient culture. So many things you can see. So preaching should start early in our Krishna conscious careers. And of course, new bhakta means he's under guidance. So whatever discrepancies are there, they can be pointed out. It's very good if new bhaktas go with senior devotees to preach. That way they learn how to preach also. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna.